You are listening to the Not So Weird podcast. I'm Adam.
And I'm Keita.
We're a father and daughter team that has decided to reconnect by launching this podcast. This will be an entertaining and fun experience and give you a chance to get to know us better.
Yeah, we are here to have a good time and be transparent about the things that make us weird in hopes of relating to you on a deep level and to spend more time with each other.
Yeah, I look forward to this time every week just to reconnect with you, Keita. And I know this is our fifth episode. I do feel closer to you than I have in a long time.
I feel closer to you too. It's fun to collaborate on
it. It absolutely is. We highly recommend it. So we want to start the show with some shout outs. We've been receiving a lot of positive feedback, and thank you. Thank you so much. So if we mention your name a few times on our shows, I hope you don't mind. And if you haven't provided us with feedback, please do. We want to hear what you're thinking. If you like the show, if you have topics you want us to unpack, let us know in various ways. We're going to get into that a little more. There'll be new ways to reach out to us that are really cool. But first, congratulations. We received our very first 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. How about that?
Thank you. We were so surprised.
Very surprised. I didn't even know it was there, but thanks to Nucky's mom and thanks to Nucky. I don't know who Nucky is. Kanuki.
I read it as Nucky.
Nucky.
I don't know if that's how it is, but.
It probably is. So we'll say it's Nucky. Nucky's mom, thank you. She says, inspirational and aspirational. Today, I listened to episode 3 of Not So Weird, a podcast about celebrating the things that make each of us uniquely and wonderfully weird. The conversation focused on gratitude. Adam, Keita, and their guest Cassidy are inspirational by sharing their experience. I aspire to their level of awareness.
Aww.
That was so nice.
So kind. So insanely kind.
We love you and we love Nucky too. Aww, big hugs. Big hugs.
The encouragement goes a long way. It's nice to know that we're reaching people and that you are enjoying to listen.
And even if you don't like it, let us know. I mean, feedback is feedback. It's all good, but hopefully you love it. But we really appreciate that feedback. And I like to say that it's kind of like the Scooby treats. You ever see Scooby-Doo and those Scooby snacks Scooby goes crazy for? Any podcast you listen to, when you leave those kinds of comments, that kind of feedback, it's that total treat. And it reminds the people who are creating the content why they make the content. That's the real connection. And it's so easy to do. I leave a lot of feedback just for that reason. It's such a good practice. Don't you agree?
I completely agree. I think it doesn't take a lot of time to do, but it really makes a day of anybody who is making the content and helps them understand what they need to do to grow. I think it's great.
Also, shout out to my friend Helen Brinsfield, who has been collaborating with me on another program, and she's really been helping out with giving me opinions on some branding and guidance as we expand the show, and she's just been a great collaborator with me on the Sprint program that I'm working on, which is this program I'm getting help with a group of like-minded people who are creators to make sure that we're doing the things and spending our time wisely and having an accountability partner or partners, a group. So what we do what we say we do, which is so powerful when you have that kind of relationship, like a mastermind kind of thing. So I highly recommend that. So Helen, thank you for all of your positive feedback and helping us along. We also received really nice feedback from our good friend, Rob Boyle. Rob and Cass, just north of me here in San Diego. Rob says, on our show about courage. Courage for me is to not be so hard on myself and to listen to the people who have faith in me. My confidence suffered as I did not have the courage to put myself out there. I am taking those steps to get myself out there. Good for you, Rob.
Yeah, so honest too. That's really cool that you let us know that. And I think you're already on your way.
Oh, he is. And I got to tell you something that impresses me so much about Rob. He's such a great guy, but I've noticed something in the creative work that Rob has been publishing, especially his photography. This year, his photography has taken a huge step forward, just incredible photos. He's really been leaning into pushing his creative juices in his photography, and it really shows. I really enjoy the work that you're doing, and I think it's a good direction. So keep going. I can't wait to see the beautiful images that you keep creating, and maybe someday we'll get together and you can take some beautiful pictures of us.
Yeah, keep it up, Rod. You're doing great.
One last shout out here. Her name is Wendy Tinkoff. She has the same last name as me, Wendy Tinkoff.
I think I've met her a couple times.
Yeah, wait, that's my sister. My sister listened to the show. She's so sweet. Finally, she listens to me. I know, she listens to me all the time. Thank you. I love you, Wendy, so much. Wendy, my sister, posted, "This was a really thought-provoking episode. Thank you." And I guess that was the episode on courage as well.
Aww.
So thank you, Wendy, for taking the time in your busy day and listening to the show with your beautiful fur babies and everybody else that's alive. Thank you. And send our regards to Uncle Steve.
Yes. Two of my favorite people ever. Glad that you're listening.
Likewise. And then I guess before we get into the main topic of our show, which as we mentioned last week, is discovery. I want to just give a few updates about what's going on around the show, and then we'll get really into the main conversation. But I want to thank everybody who's been listening to the show. The show has been growing at a rapid pace, and we can see that in the numbers. Thank you. And we've launched something new, a way you can get a hold of us, a way you can leave questions, a way that we can give you more information about what we're talking about that's a little more than just the show notes. We have launched a Discord server. And if you don't know what Discord is, it's a platform for collaboration, for chatting, for leaving messages that's similar to Facebook in a way, but without any of the advertising. It's kind of independent and it's a little more basic, but some people know what Discord servers are, some people don't. And if you don't, you should go to notsoweird.com and look at our show notes because there's an invite waiting for you. You'll see a link where you can click to join our server. You download the software or the app on your phone, and then you can come in and leave us comments. You can get more information about each one of our episodes. And we're just starting out, so there's not a lot there. But I have to tell you this, I've been using Discord with other programs that I follow, other clubs, other groups that I belong in, and they're really powerful and they're a great way to share information. And it's private. You have to get an invite to join and you just click on the link and you can get in. And it's a really great way to connect to our audience. And we'll also be expanding the Not So brand in the future. I'll have a new podcast that's launching soon, and more about that. But also, more importantly, we're going to be launching some merchandise, some coffee mugs, some t-shirts, some hats with the Not So brand. So look for that soon. We'll be posting all those details on the socials, but also in our Discord server. In fact, we might even have some discounts there once we start putting that stuff out. So that's the news on the show front. Let's now pivot to the main topic.
Our topic today is discovery. And we wanted to open a conversation about how we discover the things that we're inspired by. I think that both my dad and I are people who find inspiration in a lot of different things. So this was a topic I was really looking forward to because I was like, oh my gosh, what do I even talk about first? Sometimes my process of discovery can be a little random, but it usually leads to some really cool places. And it's just a fascinating topic to talk about. Like, how do you find the stuff that inspires you? And we're hoping that it might help you to have some ideas of where you could find some things that might inspire you. So most times I just have things kind of come across my path and I try to stay open to experiencing new things and staying really curious. What would you say that inspires you, Dad? Where do you discover most of your inspiration?
I think this is a fascinating topic because when I first think about it, like you, I react and say, oh, it's kind of random. I never really thought about it. Just stuff appears in my life. But the more I look at this idea, the more I realize there actually is some kind of process there. There actually is a method to the madness. When you think about it, here's a perfect example. this week at work, I have a day job, and we had a call, a very big call, that was a round table. We had more than 25 designers on this call and leaders. I think there was almost 30 people on this call. We had a big Zoom call, and I hate those kinds of calls. Usually I'm just listening. I'm like, oh, I got this call. But it ended up being the best call of the week because the topic was the same that we have today. Where do you find inspiration when you're going to be approaching one of your designs? And people started to go around the table to share their ideas of where they find inspiration. And little by little, it turned out to become a book club. And people were pulling books off of their bookshelf to say, oh, have you checked out this book? Oh, that book? That's great. But how about this book?
I love that.
At the end, we ended up with this very long Amazon list because somebody was keeping notes on the meeting. And now I'm going to have to buy all these books. But even me, I jumped in. And I'm like, oh, there's this one book you have to check out. But it was so great because these are my colleagues. I have great respect for all of them. And they pulled out some books that I had never even known about before that were so fascinating, of places that they can draw inspiration from when they're creating their designs. Mm-hmm. So really, I was relying on the group of people that I have great respect for. I mean, these are my colleagues, and it's a work relationship, but it works so well. And then I realized, wow, when I find something that excites me, generally, it doesn't just pop up. Sometimes it does, but usually I go find it somewhere. And there are places that I typically go to find things. I mean, I was surprised when I started to think about that. And I ended up with this long list of places. And I don't want to sit here and just read them to you, but maybe I can just share a few. And then maybe you can share a few and we can kind of talk about those experiences.
Of course. It's not surprising to me that you are a very inspired person. I think everybody is a combination of what they're inspired by. So I'll be really curious to hear where you're drawing your inspiration from, because you're just a very interesting person. So it'd be cool to know where your inspiration is coming from these days.
Well, much of my inspiration comes from the people that are around me. That's probably the place I look first, the conversations that I have. And many of those now take place online. So places like Facebook, places like Instagram, other places where you connect with people that you really care about or you idolize or you have great respect about. So for example, if there's a designer that I really admire their work, or an artist, I really admire their work, and they put up a post that says, wow, I'm really digging this, I'll check that out. And mm-hmm. I'll be surprised. I don't always like it. Like, wow, I like you so much, but I don't like your music taste. And then I'll always go back. So there's definitely that. So getting influenced by the people that you have great respect for. And it's surprising that I almost in some ways, my tastes are independent of the people I admire. And I like that. I like that. And you could give yourself that test. How much does what I love or what I think I love reflect the world around me? And if it does not map to the world around you, you're doing it right. It's like you're picking what you like. For example, I like something that people don't, and this is really weird. This is going to sound disgusting to some people, but I like when I take cottage cheese, I like to put a little bit of ketchup on it.
Ketchup.
Ketchup. And ketchup's a little sweet, just a little bit of ketchup with my cottage cheese. Instead of fruit, I put ketchup. And people are like, how could you eat ketchup? It's good. I like it. It's good. I like it. Nobody else does. But I don't care that you don't like it. Just let me have my cottage cheese and a little
ketchup. It's not hurting anybody.
But my music collection, my literature collection, my taste in art, my taste in flavors, my palate, is just like that. The colors that I like, they're my colors. They're my ketchup in my cottage cheese. And what I do like, and I almost hesitate to say this, I really do rely on the algorithm.
Same.
No matter where it comes from, whether it be Amazon or YouTube, I spend a lot of time watching YouTube, Instagram, you know, the things that pop into your feeds that aren't controlled by you. And I have some definite thoughts on how you can modify your engagement with those programs to get you recommendations that are more aligned to what your taste is. And we'll talk about that later, but I just gave you a bunch of information there. I want to see if you have any thoughts on that, Kata.
That was something that came to my mind as well. Instagram and the algorithm. A lot of the times while I'm scrolling, I will see an advertisement, or I'll even see something that a friend has posted that I would not normally see if I wasn't doing that. And you can find inspiration in weird places too. Sometimes something will just be like the catalyst. Maybe you don't even like it, but it'll spark an idea of something else. Just like a quick example, I'm looking in my living room and I see a backpack. So say you get like an Instagram advert for a backpack. And then you're like, well, I don't need that backpack. But then that's got me thinking about backpacks. And then your whole cycle of thoughts is now going down that path. I definitely am very inspired by social media at times. So I can relate with you on that one. I loved what you said about the cottage cheese. I think I might use that metaphor from now on. This is just the ketchup in my cottage cheese.
Yeah, it's great.
You don't gotta like it, man, but I like it.
I like it. I don't need you to like it for me to keep eating it. I don't know why, but that's what I eat. And I'm sorry if that's offended you, but it's true. Let me tell you something. I like this idea of you don't know where inspiration can come from. And I can tell you one of the most powerful tools for me in new music, music I haven't heard from before. One of the most powerful tools that I use to capture and find out what's out there that I've never heard before, believe it or not, is when I'm in a cafe or I'm in this cool store and I hear some song that I'm like, oh my God, I love this. I pull out my phone and I go to Shazam and I go, what is this? And then that playlist goes straight to, I think, Apple Music, and I have a Shazam playlist and I have all that music that I captured, and it's amazing. And people I've never heard of before. Have you ever used Shazam like that?
I use Shazam all the time. I think that's a really good point and kind of helps me flesh out something I mentioned earlier, where I think a big part of discovery and inspiration is staying open to things. And then also putting yourself in environments where you're experiencing different things from what you normally do. Because you could find inspiration in your house, but a lot of the times you can find something so random and inspiring on a walk. Or you go and you hear a song from a playlist that's not curated by you, and you Shazam it, and now you do have that song. I actually wrote down on my list, something that helps me discover is the YouTube algorithm. So I'm really loving YouTube playlists lately of music where people will make these really long 2 or 3 hour playlists. And I've been listening to a lot of lo-fi playlists around the house. And once you've listened to one on YouTube, they will suggest like a bajillion others. To quote an old friend of mine, he would say, surrender to the random nature of it all. He would play a playlist and he'd be like, don't skip a song. Just let it play through. This is the way it's supposed to be. So I think about that. I'll just listen to a lot of new playlists that are suggested to me. And I find a lot of really cool stuff that way. It's good to get out of your comfort zone a little bit, even with something as simple as music. Because it's tempting to just listen to the same things over and over. You already know them. But I think Shazam is great. I use it a lot.
Well, I live in a world now, which was a future I couldn't even dream of. I live in a world now and a future that I couldn't even dream of. What do I mean by that? When I grew up, we listened to the radio and we had no choice on what was coming next. And we found music by listening to the radio. You could pick your station to get the kind of music you liked. And I was usually down at the bottom of the dial where all the weird music was, way in the low numbers, like the college radio stations. That's where I found all the weird stuff. I had such respect for all those DJs. They were my guides. They were the magicians that would bring the next thing that would change my life. And that's what surrendering to the random flow of things really is. We used to do that. That's all we had. We didn't have the choice that we do now back then. And I am so happy for it. But in some ways, it's overwhelming. For example, I can't believe we can go to Netflix and not find anything to watch. With how many titles are on Netflix or Hulu or whatever.
It's choice paralysis.
It's choice paralysis. And sometimes when someone's making those choices for you, you just have to deal with it. You have to surrender to that. And either you like it or you won't. But more often than not, what I find when somebody's making those choices, where you find that random song in the store that you had no control over choosing, you find some real gems and you find out things about yourself you never knew. Like, wow, I never knew I liked lavender so much.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Or whatever it is. And I look at that playlist, that Shazam playlist that I capture randomly, and I still don't know who those people are. It's not stuff that I knew even before. And then that opens up a whole new world because you get into these algorithms on Spotify, especially. They're so good at it. If you like this, other people who like this, this, and this. And you listen to that. I'm like, oh, that's good too. I like that too. Well, if you like that and you like this, then you like this. And it gets better and better. The more that you lean into that algorithm, it gets better at predicting what you might like. So I too depend on that algorithm to find those surprises in a lot of ways. And I also rely on YouTube. I watch a lot of YouTube, especially because I'm doing all of these creative things. And I use it as YouTube University. And my next subject, my next topic, well, if you like this, then you must like this because this is the next logical step in your progression. And that is just an amazing benefit of these tools, hopefully, that are being implemented for the bettering of people. You never know. They could be scary, too.
I think they're double-sided. I think that a lot of people have negative reactions to algorithms, and I absolutely understand. And I think that everything requires balance, but I think there's a real beauty to algorithms as well in terms of discovering new content and finding things, especially when it comes to like music and art and these beautiful forms of expression. I think that it can bring you to things that you never would have found on your own.
Something that I've found is that the more you work with the algorithm, the more that you feed the algorithm, the better the suggestions become. And I'll give you a really great example. Let's think about Amazon. I find the next thing that I definitely have to have, usually through Amazon, because it watches my behavior and the algorithm says, oh, you bought this, other people bought that, so you probably want that too. And sometimes it's right, sometimes it's not. But I found one of the best ways to help Amazon know what to serve you randomly is to go into your browsing history on Amazon, and you can delete the things that you don't need anymore. Because say I go out and buy a backpack, I go and click and I look at a bunch of backpacks and I buy the backpack. Even though you bought the backpack, you'll still get offers for other backpacks on anything that you click on. So if you go into your browsing history in Amazon, your product browsing history, you can delete those products so it knows not to show you those anymore. Oh, you're not interested in that anymore. And it's especially helpful when you click on bizarre things. Sometimes you, by mistake, click on a link or you're just curious, how much do these things cost? Like, I wonder how much a 1,000 pounds of jelly beans cost. And I go and look that up. And then all of a sudden, for the next 2 weeks, I'm getting all kinds of jelly beans ads.
You reminded me that I think a big part of discovery is also staying curious. Like, even if you don't plan on buying an 1,000 pound bag of jelly beans, just being curious about it, that's kind of inspiring too. Like, this is the kind of stuff I want to be looking at on Amazon.
Oh, absolutely. You can find out a lot about the world in Amazon in places like this to see what the products that are available to do those things and what their costs are.
I think one more thing that I had written down, which kind of relates to this, is I think that I'm the most inspired by the people in my life. The people that I interact with on a day-to-day basis. And a lot of those are my business clientele. But by staying curious and asking them questions about their perspective, I get a lot of inspiration from them and just the situations they get put in and how they handled it or what they're into recently. And they tell me about all sorts of things going on in my city. And I really do think talking to people and the random nature of all of that, the random nature of conversation, can really be so inspiring and lead you to so many things that you wouldn't have found that you're into.
Have you ever taken a random recommendation? For example, you walk somewhere or you share a cab with somebody and they tell you something and then you go check it out?
I can't remember any time off the top of my head when I did that, but I'm sure that I have. Oh, no, like when I travel, I do that all the time.
You ask somebody, hey, you're from around here. Where should I go? And they send you someplace. I just worry because sometimes I do that and you end up someplace and I think they don't get you. It's not what you expected. They didn't understand you.
You might find something inspiring about it anyway, though.
It's at least
a funny story.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So you have to be careful, but definitely the world around you by talking to the people in the world around you and leaning in and trying what excites them. Sometimes will unlock something that you had no idea you even would enjoy.
I really love that you said that. Absolutely. Sometimes it just takes like trying what somebody else is interested in or just listening to something that they're interested in. And then you're like, oh, wow, this actually really resonates with me. Cool. I found a new interest. And then it becomes yours in a way. Or yours that you can share together. Definitely find that very inspiring. Do you have anything else that you can think of that helps you discover?
Yes, especially when I travel. When I travel to find inspiration in a place that I go to that's new, it even can be just a new city or a new town, I love to go to the grocery store and just wander the aisles to see what kind of products they have, especially the things that I really love, like coffee or dried nuts and snacks and beers. Mm-hmm. And it's like going into a museum of the region, the real museum of the region. And the kind of products that are there are a reflection of the people that are there. And it's so much fun. So for me, I have the great luxury of living on the border. And some people don't say that's a luxury, but it is for me because in less than an hour, I can be in another country. I'll be in Mexico. I go into Tijuana. I always just go straight to the grocery store and I'm buying all kinds of things I've never seen before or aren't available for me. And it's so interesting because you learn so much about a culture, or you go to a market, an ethnic market, like a Chinese market or an Asian market. Or any kind of market, and you see things that you just don't understand. I find that to be fascinating. And then you can get in a conversation with the people that are there. Well, what is this for? What do you do with these things? Right. And especially the spices and some of the weirder vegetables or behind the counter stuff. Very weird. But it gives you an opportunity to find out something that you just don't even know about. And it's fascinating. It's really a wonderful way to get a quick hit on a culture is just go straight to the grocery store and see how things are different. Even just to see how different things are priced is interesting. And the economy of it all, or what is out front, what's on display might say something that's very different from what you're used to. And you can just find that within regions. For example, when you go shopping at a grocery store in Florida at Publix, which is pretty much every grocery store in Florida, is very different than if you were in New York or Chicago or Denver or Los Angeles for that matter. And I truly believe that grocery stores are one of the greatest cultural reflections of the local community and one of the quickest ways that you can get in touch. And even better, you can order your meal there. Go back to the deli where they have the prepared meals and just get a lunch from there. And then you can really taste what the local people eat.
That's a really interesting point. I think you can also tell a lot by things that have a lot of variety, where you're like, oh, at this store, there's 20 different flavors of potato chips. Like at my store, we only have two. It tells you a lot about the demographic.
Potato chip flavors. Oh, that's such a good point. When I went to Canada the first time when I was an adult, I went when I was a child and I had really no control over where I was or what I was doing. But when I went as an adult and I had control, I crossed the border into Canada. And I was amazed at the flavors of potato chips. Things like ketchup again, they have ketchup flavored potato chips or dill potato chips, just flavors that don't register here. And I didn't see barbecue or sour cream and onion. So the potato chip flavor is a really good indicator of a culture. And for example, if you go to Mexico, you'll see a lot of potato chips that'll have chili and lime and sour and citrus, even sweet ones.
Those are their flavors.
With tamarind that are sweet, like sweet and savory. Mm-hmm. And then if you go to the Asian side of town and you look at the markets, they'll have things like shrimp, all very strange flavors, and squid in the potato chips.
Oh, squid potato chips.
We could start a cultural meter. You can measure a cultural preference by looking at the flavors in their potato chips.
Well, now I want to do an episode of the show where we just get a bunch of weird potato chip flavors and like rate them from 1 to 10.
Oh, that's a great idea.
It could double as like an ASMR episode for crunching potato chips.
We should do that. We should go out and find the most interesting potato chip flavors, but wait until we get on the show and we'll just try them and see what we get. Like the weird snacks, but in the chip variety, chips. So put that in the book.
Stay tuned for weird chip flavors.
So I want to get back to this idea of creative inspiration. I'm an artist, I'm a designer, I'm a creative guy. I go to a lot of places for creative inspiration and different places for different reasons. But I'd like to know from you, Kata, where do you go to find your creative inspiration? In which plants to grow or which projects to do or arts and crafts, all that kind of stuff? Is it Pinterest or Instagram?
You're reminding me of what a broad topic this really is, because there's a lot of different facets. Like creative discovery might come from a different place. So where do I get my creative inspiration from? So when I do anything artistically, usually it's very abstract. Sometimes I'll see certain like shapes and colors that just look really good together. It could be the most mundane, boring thing, but I'll see it and I'm like, oh my God, I can see a painting there. Like the way that these shapes are coming together, I'll think in very abstract ways. Sometimes I'll just see some colors playing nice together. Sometimes I'll think of a concept for like an art piece in my head and it'll just be like a sentence or a word. And I'll be like, I want to paint what that feels like to me. So almost like emotions, I will get inspired by different emotions and I see them visually. Does that make sense?
Do you write them down or do you just go on the instinct?
Both. So sometimes I'll take an emotion and I have to create something with it. Or I guess it's just a way of transmuting that energy. Like it helps me process feelings or concepts creatively.
Do you ever feel that projects you engage in are flavored by those emotions when you least expected? As in, you knew you were going to make something here. You had to make something for your house. And then you look at that thing and you can say, wow, I can really see how I was feeling that day and what I did there.
Yes. Yes. And normally you don't realize it until later on. You look back and you're like, oh, that's so reflective of how I was feeling at that time.
Boy, that was a day.
Exactly. Why did I make that choice? Oh, it's feeling that way.
You just bury that thing in the backyard and then you bury the shovel so you can't dig it up. As a creative, I know I create things sometimes and that you've never seen. Sometimes I keep them as kind of badges of honor. They're almost like wounds. They're the scars of the artwork that just didn't work out so well. And they mock.
Yeah.
Just keep them there to remind me. But other times I just destroy them and then I destroy the thing that I destroyed them in just so there's no way that they can come back.
That's such an artist thing to say, to really not like certain pieces of artwork. It's just part of the process.
Yeah, artists are their worst critics on their own art. I shudder. Some of the things that I've produced, I really shudder. And other people are like, oh, that's so nice. I can't even draw a straight line. I'm like, good. Straight lines are boring.
We like wiggly lines.
That's all the expression there. But for creative, I go to several places to be creatively inspired. Obviously, Pinterest is a great one. Pinterest is super great for pinning pictures and ideas, and it's just so deep. I could sit down in Pinterest, and then all of a sudden, 2 hours just evaporated by looking at things. And it's one of those things, like if you click on one thing, then it shows you more things like that thing, and then you start clicking on another board and another board and another board. And as a designer/artist, I use Pinterest a lot to get inspiration, but I have to be careful because sometimes if I spend too much time going down one road, my work starts to look like that thing rather than yes. my work. But I really do like it for so many reasons. Pinterest is always a great one. But there's some other places that I like to go to, especially for those of you who know me. I've been designing shirts, t-shirts, just for fun. And I sell them online. And I've been selling shirts for over a decade online. And it's nice. I put up these designs and people have an opportunity to buy them. They're not so expensive, under $20 to get a shirt shipped to you. I make just a couple dollars on every sale. I'm not doing this for the business. I'm doing this because people have asked me, oh, I love your designs. I just love to have something I know that you designed. And they buy these things. And I have probably 50 different shirts that are online at my store on Spreadshirt. And I'll put a link to my shirt shop. And I'm not asking you. I'm not promoting. I don't need you to buy a shirt unless you want one. But where I like to go to get inspiration for my shirts, because I have a specific style, I like taking images that I find in the public domain from sources that are almost 100 years older, really old stuff, like from old catalogs, old advertisements, old newspapers. And I'll take that weird random picture of like a single boot, which was an advertisement of an old boot or a gear or some industrial machinery, like an old typewriter. That's all in the public domain. So you go there and you can do anything you want with these images. It's not like you're stealing other people's artwork, but it's commercial art from the turn of the century, meaning the 1900s, stuff that's produced in 1910, 1920, that's now in the public domain due to the age. It's no longer protected by copyright. And there's some really nice libraries that are out there. And then I'll take that image and then I do a spin on it. I either trace it or I modify it or I put two things together or I add some words. So it has kind of a retro steampunk kind of look.
I've seen them. I never thought about where you find the inspiration for your subjects, but that's really cool.
So now I'm going to give away my secret.
You're going to help other people be inspired.
For all those people who are listening, who are the designers and the artists, and they want to know where I source all those cool images, I'll give them my secret. So if you want to do it too, just tell them Adam sent me. I go to a website called Flickr. Oh, everybody knows Flickr, but it's not just Flickr. But inside Flickr, they have a special part of Flickr that's called the Flickr Commons. The Flickr Commons. And everything in the Flickr Commons is in public domain. And they connect to probably 50 or so libraries around the world and museums and organizations that have huge collections of imagery that has been scanned from sources that are in public domain. So anything you use or pull from Flickr Commons is free game. You can do whatever you want with it. Now, it's a scan of an old newspaper, so you can't just take that image. It might even be too low resolution. I then take that into an application and I trace it or I modify it. I create my own spin on it, but I use that as the source. So if you see a picture of a chicken or a cowboy or a mug of beer or something like that, an old coffee pot, I usually go into the Flickr Commons to get my source material. And then I modify it and make it my own and make that my graphic. There's so much there. The search engine's really weird too. Like if you say, show me pictures of chickens, it'll show you like maybe one or two chickens, but then it'll show you all this other stuff that might be related to chickens, but who knows? I don't know how they do it, but it's terrible. It's like the worst search engine ever. But that's what's awesome, because that every result is in the public domain.
And you can use it.
And you can use it. So you might find something completely different, like a straw hat. And the hat's so cool. I'm like, oh, it'd be so cool to have a t-shirt that just has a singular retro straw hat on it without a head, just a floating hat. Oh, that's so cool.
So you find your inspiration from Flickr and from random images you just might come across.
Yes, but Flickr Commons, because I know that the results are all in public domain, so I can use them. You don't want to do this with Google image search. You don't want to do this with Flickr alone. Many people do upload photos to Flickr using the Creative Commons license, but you just don't know. You want to make sure that you're using, if you're creating your own work, that you're using sources that are freely available. So you're not stealing work. And as an artist, I do care about that. It's not okay just to say, oh, I'm going to take a picture of my favorite musician and then create a picture of that person. Well, that person, they make money over the promotion of their image. You need to license that technically. And some people get away with it. A lot of people get away with it with fan art. But I personally like to create things that don't have that problem, don't have that issue. I'm using source material that extends beyond copyright. And it has kind of a retro look to it, but I like that. It works for me. There are other places too. There are sites like iarchive.org. If you're into comic book art, there is a great website called Comic Book Plus. I think it's comicbookplus.org. We'll put the link in. But what you find there are comic books that were published from companies that are out of business or beyond copyright, totally in the public domain, and they're PDFs, and the artwork is amazing. And some of them are really funny because they're not blockbuster comic books. This is from the 20s, the 30s, and 40s. But just getting a picture of a rocket ship that's half-toned, you can take that image and use that as your inspiration piece. So if you want to have a really great comic book look, comic book plus.org, I believe it is, but we'll put the link in the show notes in the Discord, is a really good place to start.
That's really cool.
And so there are places like that. More and more libraries are becoming available with material that is available in the public domain. And every year, another year ticks off and all this new material becomes available. And it's just fun to kind of riff and modify off of that, because you're not encroaching on the opportunity of another artist to make the thing that you can call your own, because that artist has been gone for a while now and their family is probably gone too. So it's okay. It's okay to use. It's all fair in public domain.
So we've covered a lot of ground because we covered discovery for artistic creative purposes, discovery for like music,
Entertainment, purchasing, buying stuff,
possibly
at the grocery
even
store.
Products, food. So I feel like we've covered a lot of ground. I do have one more discovery question for you. Where do you discover the things that you like to do for fun?
So activities I like to do for fun. I do not do activities for fun.
I don't have fun ever.
I do. I do not have fun. I don't. I spend most of my time launching projects, working on podcasts, working on videos, engaging my social media audience, all that kind of stuff.
And that's fun for you.
And that is the fun for me. But when I want to travel or I go somewhere new, I tend to rely on the advice of locals wherever they might be posting that information. So I will do a Google search generally. Five fun things to do somewhere. There's tons of travel sites that can help you there. I also rely on videos. I'll go to YouTube and look up to see if there are any travel vloggers who went to that place to see what are the must-see things that you have to see. And I generally don't even go to see those. I just want to see where all the tourists are going to be so I can find something
else. So you cannot go to those places?
But like you said before, when I go to places that I haven't been before, I am not shy to ask. And I do that all the time. If I'm in a place and the food was really good and I feel like the person who is serving me has me covered and understands me, you'll know that way if you connect to the server. I'll ask the server, I'm like, hey, you must be from around here. What should I go see? And then I follow their recommendation. And then locally, well, I receive recommendations from my friends and my neighbors. I generally don't do those things. I tend to find out for myself. Sometimes I just go without any place in mind and I just try to find it for myself. But that's my own personal way of being. I know a lot of people aren't like that. But when I'm in a place, I like to find things out for myself. Sometimes I'll just make a turn at random just to see what I might find.
Oh, I do the same thing. And this actually ties back into what we were saying earlier about doing things that are random. sometimes that can be the most inspiring thing, just getting out of your normal path that you always go.
It takes courage to make a left when everybody says go right. But how about you? Where do you find all the fun things to do?
I think for fun, I like to do a lot of classes. I like to learn. So for me, any situation where I'm learning is really fun, and that is very inspiring in turn. So like I'll go to like art classes. I took up pottery in the last couple years. I've done some dance classes. What else? Lots of massage classes.
Where do you find those?
So I usually find them either by stumbling upon them or from knowing people in my community. So sometimes like I've got an art studio that I really love. And now I just follow their website and wait for them to post new workshops. And even if it's something I wouldn't normally take, sometimes I will sign up for it just for the opportunity to do a new thing. So just finding people where you really like who they are or what they stand for, like my local art studio, I really like everything about it. I love being there. So I'm willing to try something new because I believe in them. And I love being there, even if I wouldn't necessarily try it otherwise. So I give in to a little bit of the random, and then I stay open to trying new things. So I guess I find a lot of that online, but also I listen to people and meet people in my community.
Are you saying that you are inspired by simply staying in touch with the places that you've had a good initial experience? For example, you go to an art studio and take a class, might be one afternoon, and that class was just amazing. So the first thing you do is just follow them. So you are informed of what's happening in the future, because so often we do something and we don't think to follow that or become a fan of that thing. But by fanning them, as in liking them, subscribing to them, whatever it is, joining their email list, you don't unsubscribe, you stay with them.
Yes, that's a really great way to describe it. I think that when you find a person or a business or
a service,
something that you really believe in, it, you can follow them and find some things that you wouldn't normally find.
Like their email list.
Yes, absolutely.
We don't like email lists. Generally, people are like, oh, I don't need more email. But for the things we really love, for example, I'm on Radiohead's email list. I love them. They're amazing. And I want to know when their next release is coming out or whatever else that might be. The people that I love, the email list is the holy grail for everyone in marketing. But for anything that I'm not too sure about, no, unsubscribe.
Well, when you really like someone and you believe in them and their vision, it's almost like anything they do, whether you like it or not, like you're interested in it. You're like, ooh, tell me more. That's exactly how I feel about my art studio. I just love to know what's going on there. And they help me to try a lot of things that I wouldn't normally try. I totally think that's how it goes.
In a sense, you're giving them permission to reach you.
Yeah.
By giving the things you love permission to reach you, you will find more things that you love to do.
By trusting them,
but also giving them permission to say, hey, you have something new, you can let me know.
Mm-hmm.
Please.
Absolutely.
Let me know. I will buy one.
I love what you do. I love your vision.
Absolutely.
I want one of everything. So I also lately have gotten really back into watching TV. I know that sounds so simple, but I realize like watching a couple episodes of a show is such a nice way to come down from a really long day. And it's nice to give yourself a chance to just relax without having to make anything or do anything. So I've been really liking that. And I take a lot of unexpected inspiration from shows that I watch. And it's like in the moments that you least expect it, something will pop up and you'll be like, that's an interesting way to think about something. I've never thought about that before. Again, tying back to that idea of just doing something you wouldn't normally do. So I've been watching a lot of shows that are kind of out of the ordinary for me and the genres I like. So that's been really fun for me lately.
I don't really watch a whole lot of TV because I'm involved in projects like this and launching things and expanding things and learning things, as you do as well. But when I do watch TV, it's usually The Golden Girls, which is on infinitum forever. So I don't want to go into that much detail, but it's a very funny show. Go back and watch it.
It's timeless.
It's timeless. Actually, I saw a lady in our grocery store that had a t-shirt that it said The Golden Girls on it. And I had to go up to her and say, that is the best t-shirt. I love it. And she was just like, I just want to get my eggs and get out.
Yeah. She's like, I just found this shirt at a Goodwill.
Exactly. She didn't even remember she had it on. She's like, some creepo is pointing at my boobs.
I'm sure she was like, oh, somebody said a nice thing.
These are the Golden Girls. Anyway, I don't want to get into that. Let's wrap up the show. We've been talking enough. So wonderful to have this conversation about discovery. And as we discover more, we will share it with you here on the podcast, Not So Weird. And we want to thank you for listening, for being our fans, for really believing in what we're trying to do here. And we are expanding. We are growing. New things are happening. If we can share with you our calls to action, the big one is joining our Discord server. If you don't know what that is, just click on the invite in the show notes at notsoweird.com. You can join us. You can chat with us. We'll engage with you. You can make suggestions with the show. If you want to support us, that's a good place to start. You can also send us feedbacks and reviews like the one we received on Apple Podcasts. So awesome. We love to hear from you. So that means like, follow, subscribe, clicking all the buttons, sharing with your friends. And as I said, the merchandise is coming. Maybe next week or the week after, we'll have some announcements about either a coffee mug or a t-shirt, or I'm not sure. Something really cool that we will have for you at a very low cost. We're not looking to make money here. We're looking to give you things to inspire you, to make it available to you so you can help us promote this idea that it's okay to be not so weird.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for listening and for all your kind words. We really do read all of it and it gets us in the feels. So thanks again for taking the time to tell us.
Yes, and taking the time to listen to our show. We really appreciate it. And with that, we are at the end. We're at the final stop in the caboose of this train that is a Not So Weird episode 5.
You have reached your final destination.
Ding dong.
Now get off the train.
Ding dong. Ding dong.
Watch out for the doors.
Shh. Boom.